welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
So we give glory to God, who is our Savior, our Lord, the lover of our souls. Amen. And I just praise the Lord, too, for another opportunity to serve you today. So let us get on with the business of the Lord for the hour. Amen. You know, y'all, we use the word love in a myriad of ways with a multitude of meanings. We may say, I love my child, and I love oatmeal raisin cookies. But the way we love our child or any other family member should be different than the way we love oatmeal raisin cookies. Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I'm not going to touch that. That's not the subject of this sermon, okay? We may also say, I love dogs. I love playing video games. And of course I love the Lord. But the way we love dogs and video games should be very different from the way we love the Lord. Not only are there different kinds of love, but there are different depths of love as well. I remember back in 1977, the Bee Gees sang a song entitled, How Deep Is Your Love? Which became a big hit because of the movie Saturday Night Fever. Now, love defined is a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties, such as maternal love for a child or even a disciple for the Lord. Now, Merriam-Webster gets a little bit deeper and says that love is unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another, such as a person's adoration of God. Will you bow in prayer with me? Hallelujah, Lord God. Indeed, Lord God, we are dependent on you today because we do know that it is in you in whom we live and move and have our being. And right now, God, we need you to do what only you can do, which is to preach this word and minister it to everyone under the sound of my voice, including me. So now, God, we ask that you have your way and do all that you want to do. Speak through me by your Spirit and bless us all to hear what it is specifically that you're saying to us today. We love you, Lord. Thank you so much for first loving us. And now we yield to you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. The title for our sermon today is How Deep Is Your Love? The first thing I want to do is share a few quotes with you this morning. Love quotes, that is. And I found so many when I was doing this research, but the Lord said, only five. You can only use five. We'd be here all day quoting these people. So Holy Ghost, help me pick them out. I saw that you were perfect, and so I loved you. Then I saw that you were not perfect, and I loved you even more. Angelita Leem. You know it's love when all you want is that person to be happy, even if you're not part of their happiness. Julia Roberts. When I say I love you more, I don't mean I love you more than you love me. I mean I love you more than the bad days ahead of us. I love you more than any fight we will ever have. I love you more than the distance between us. I love you more than any obstacle that could try and come between us. I love you the most. And the author is unknown. Another unknown quote says, it all comes down to the last person you think about at night. That's where your heart is. And then there's John Legend's, all of me loves all of you. How deep is your love? Will you turn with me to John chapter 21? John chapter 21, the fourth gospel and the last chapter in the gospel. In John chapter 21, I'll be reading for you from the NIV translation. John chapter 21. Praise the Lord for pages rustling. Amen. John chapter 21. I'm going to read for you 15 to 17 and then 19b. Hear the word of the Lord. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Then he said to him, "Follow me." How deep is your love? We could use our sanctified imaginations today and say, that's what the Lord Jesus was asking Peter. How deep is your love, Peter? What is it that provoked the Lord's question, and why did he ask it three times? Before we answer that, let's talk about the love of God first, a love demonstrated by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to stay right here in the book of John and see in it God's love story to humanity through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, hallelujah, that's our shout, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, we couldn't have got in that way, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Look at the love of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We can ask like the psalmist this morning, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And yet he made his dwelling among us. Yes, God was one of us, God the Son. Then the scripture goes on to say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Whoever believes in the son has, not will have, has, present, today, eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Then in chapter 4, we have an account of Jesus' encounter with a woman from another culture. He offers her what he called living water. In verse 14, Jesus says, "But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." In doing this, Jesus was demonstrating that eternal life is available to everyone. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. How deep is your love? Listen to God's love expressed in chapter 13, the first five verses. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. How deep is your love? How deep is my love? On our way to die, would we have taken time to serve? Even those who would betray us, and even those who have betrayed us. Yet in chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. How deep is your love this morning? Is it bearing fruit? Fruit for his glory and fruit that will remain? Or do we even care? Then Jesus prayed for us in chapter 17. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He was referring to the disciples, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, hallelujah, we got to get that, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. We're talking about the love of God being demonstrated in the Lord Jesus Christ. How deep is your love? Oh, hallelujah. By asking Peter, do you love me, three times, Jesus was emphasizing the importance of Peter's love and unswerving obedience to his Lord as necessary for his future ministry. So essentially, he was asking Peter, how deep is your love? See, you can't serve somebody that you don't love. At least not with the right attitude and the right spirit. Your love will be limited by its lack of sincerity, its lack of depth. So let's talk a little bit about the depths of love right now. We'll liken the depths to water to help our understanding. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. How many people awake? Touch your neighbor and say, wake up. She just asked us a question. Oh, hallelujah. So we'll try that again. We're going to talk about the depths of love right now. We'll liken the depths to water to help our understanding. Is that all right? Yes. Hallelujah. 3 feet. 3 feet we're going to call salvation. That's where we learn that God loves everybody. Now, we do know that the only reason that we love God is because he first loved us. You know, I know the real spiritual folks think, I'd have loved you anyway, Jesus. Nah. But 3 feet is salvation. Then we go from there to 4 feet. Let's call that discovery. That's the discovery depth. Because this is where we get to know him and his love for us personally. We all were dead in our transgressions and sins. And now here we all are, a bunch of used to be's. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I think he covered us all. Oh, amen. Now, don't miss the next verse. Please pay attention. And such were some of you. Ah, hallelujah. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Praise God for being a used to be. Go ahead and give us some praise. Give them some praise. We're not what we used to be. We're not yet what we're going to be. But hallelujah, we're not what we used to be. Glory, hallelujah. Come on now. You know who you was. We don't have to start calling stuff out, do we? Oh. Come on, Holy Ghost, work the room. Work the room. You ain't been all so holy and sanctified coming to church. Come on now. We was out there deep in sin, sinking the rise no more. We were so close to hell, they said we smell like smoke. Oh, hallelujah. We're a bunch of used to bees. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But one day we're going to see him as he is. Oh, hallelujah. And right now he's making us more like Christ. Oh, isn't that something? Think about how you used to be. Now you're being made like Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Ooh, that was a deep depth, wasn't it? Hallelujah. Now we get out into 6 feet. 6 feet, we're going to call this depth tremendous gratitude. And this is when we serve God based on our love for him, not just because of what he does for us. How deep is your love today? How deep is my love today? Have we gotten to this depth yet? Maybe all of us don't realize the depth of our own sin. You know something? Your sin, all by yourself, was enough to send Jesus to Calvary. And he would have did it if it was just you. My sin, all by myself, was enough to send Jesus to Calvary. And he would have went. But never mistake that it took the same blood to save you that it took to save everybody else, no matter how much you think you didn't sin that much. Or as Ruffin used to tell us, my first pastor, some of us were sophisticated with our sin. Nevertheless, we were sinners nevertheless. Praise you, Lord. If you think you have been forgiven little, then you only love a little, according to Luke 7:47. It's in the book, read it. You're still in 4 feet. Because you have not yet discovered just how much God loves you just the way that you are. That's what brings about the tremendous gratitude. See, because if we just think about ourselves today and just the drama in our own lives from this past week, the parts where we thought the wrong thing, some of us did the wrong thing, Some of us stepped outside of our Christianity and did some stuff. Okay? But yet he says, I love you just the way that you are. But the amazing thing is he loves us so much, he's not going to leave us the way we are. Oh, hallelujah. Now let's go deeper still. There's another depth of love we can go to. 12 feet. That's real deep. Because we can't stand up in 12 feet of water. Amen. But that's where you get to mature love. This is when we stop praising God with our mouths while our hearts are far from him. This is also where we give thanks in everything, realizing that even this drama is God's will for me in Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Even this present drama, the right now drama, the stuff that you got to go back home to, that this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, hallelujah. Otherwise, he's not God. It ain't no devil in God. It's God up over everything. The devil has to get permission to do anything. Then he have to go and then check it out. Some of you may be walking up so uprightly that God said to the devil, have you considered my servant Ollie? How she's upright. She's been serving as the leader of VBS for 20 years. Have you ever considered her? And you say, Lord, don't brag on me. Don't brag on me. Because God was bragging on Job. But oh, that we would live in such a way that the Lord said, have you considered my servant Lonnie? Amen. Oh, amen. Help us, Lord. And there's nothing to fear because the battle's already been won. We have the victory in Christ. When we get into this depth of mature love, this is where we just straight up obey him. We might not like it, but we've gotten to the place where we love him so much, we just obey him. Like me, I just fuss and fuss, but I'm gonna obey him. Because John 14:24 says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. This depth is also when we learn to offer the sacrifice of praise. That praise that's hard to find its way to our lips because of our circumstances. But we open our mouths anyway because we know that he's worthy to be praised no matter how we feel. Anybody ever had that sacrifice of praise bubble up in you? You was going through, your heart was so heavy. You was like, when you felt like God was favoring other people over you, and how come you waiting so long? But then you just sit there and the goodness of God just stirred up in you, and you just said, well, praise you, Lord. Praise you anyway, God. And you know there's something in the Bible called scripture, and the scripture says that he inhabits the praises of his people. It didn't say if it was a big praise or a little praise. It just said he gets in it. So when you sitting there and you crying and barely can say thank you, Jesus, he gets in it. The next thing you know, you standing up. You waving your hand and you say, God, I bless you. And if the people don't hold you, you're going to run around the church. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, in this depth of mature love, we now know that God desires truth on the inside, where only God and us know what's really going on. Work the room, Holy Ghost. And now, in this depth of mature love, we desire to know Christ, not just in the power of his resurrection, but in the fellowship of his sufferings, because we've learned that it's an honor and a privilege to be what the Bible calls a partaker of Christ's sufferings. Oh, hallelujah. How deep is your love today, Christian? How deep is my love? Oh, hallelujah. If the Lord were asking us individually today, do you love me? How many times might he have to ask us? One commentator has said it is possible that by his repeated question, Jesus is subtly reminding Peter of his three denials. There's no doubt those denials and how he felt when Jesus turned to look at him at that moment were seared deeply into Peter's mind. It wasn't lost on Peter that Jesus repeated his question to him three times, just as Peter had previously denied him three times. Again, I'll ask, if the Lord were asking us individually today, do you love me? How many times might he have to ask us? Hallelujah. What is worth noting about the question Jesus was posing is that he was using a different word for love than Peter was. First, Jesus asked Peter, did he love him more than the other disciples did? Because Peter was the first disciple to say that he would die for Jesus and never deny him. And that's why Peter was real careful how he answered that first question, because he wasn't going to say, oh, no, I don't love you more than all them, Lord. Now, all of the scholars in the house, the students of the word, are familiar with the commentator Matthew Henry, and he gave us a little insight into all this. He said, we must not be surprised to have our sincerity called into question when we ourselves have done that which makes it doubtful. Every remembrance of past sins, even pardoned sins, renews the sorrow of the true penitent. We should be able to say amen to that. It is well when our falls and mistakes make us more humble and watchful. The sincerity of our love to God must be brought to the test, and it behooves us to inquire with an earnest, persevering prayer to the heart-searching God to examine and prove us whether we're able to stand the test. No one can be qualified to feed the sheep and lambs of Christ who does not love the good shepherd more than any earthly advantage or object. Jesus asked the question because of Peter's former testimony. Though all disciples be offended by Christ and should deny him, he wouldn't. And he had just jumped into the sea first. Remember when Jesus was walking on the water? Peter, he said, call me. This is you, Lord. Bid me to come. He got right out there. Maybe he was trying to prove something, since his public denial is now, by now giving a public display of affection. Y'all all know we all done that. You know, we messed up and everybody knew it. Then we tried to, you know, whack them. Our generation, we said, mole, mole, crunch, crunch. I don't know what they say today. But, you know, praise God. Y'all get the meaning. We've all done that, okay? Jesus had asked Peter, did he agape him? And agape love was the highest form of love and is expressed by the love of God for man. And then ultimately, man for God, unconditional love. Peter answered that he did love Jesus, but with a brotherly love, phileo. Again, with his second inquiry, Jesus once again used the word agape, and Peter kept right on saying yes with phileo, brotherly love. The last time Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, Jesus used the same word Peter did. Now, the scholars presume some things, and as a theologian of the day, so will I. Once again, using our sanctified imaginations, could Jesus have been letting Peter know that his love was going to have to be deeper than just a brotherly love because of what might be awaiting him as one who has chosen to follow Christ? So the question to each Christian today is, how deep is your love? Again, we're going to go to our friend Matthew Henry. He gives us a little more insight. He says, before Christ could commit his sheep to Peter's care, he asked him, lovest thou me? Christ has such a tender regard to his flock that he will not trust it with any but those that love him, and therefore will love all that are his for his sake. Those that do not truly love Christ will never truly love the souls of men or will naturally care for their estate as they should. Nor will that minister love his work that does not love his master. Nothing, and we are all ministers, amen. Let's get that together. Praise Jesus. Amen. Come to Rice. Nothing but the love of Christ will constrain ministers to go cheerfully through the difficulties and discouragements they meet with in their work. But this love will make their work easy and them in good earnest in it. Henry goes on to say, secondly, lovest thou me more than these? Dost thou love me more than thou dost James or John, thy intimate friends, or Andrew, thy own brother and companion? Those who do not love Christ aright and do not love him better than the best friend they have in the world and make it to appear whenever they stand in comparison or in competition are not fit for the work of God. Or, he goes on, lovest thou me more than thou lovest these things, these boats and nets, because Peter was a fisherman, more than all the pleasure of fishing, which some make a recreation of, more than the gain of fishing, which others make a calling of, more than the eagles. Oh, that wasn't on there. Sorry. Fly, eagles, fly. those only love Christ indeed, that love him better than all the delights of sense and all the profits of this world. Lovest thou me more than thou lovest these occupations thou art now employed in? If so, leave them to employ thyself wholly in feeding my flock. Somebody just got a rhema word. Yes, he does want you to quit your job. I can testify. Simply put, Christianity is not for the faint of heart. God has not just called us to find our purpose, to find our destiny, and to live our best lives. He has not called us to a life of ease, comfort, and pleasure. No, he has called us to endure hardness as a good soldier. Remember that the next time you sing, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord, because it really is a battlefield. God has called us to deny ourselves daily, take up our cross. You know that thing, that person, place, or thing that causes us to die to self? Take it up daily and follow him. You know that stuff you don't want nobody to know about how your mate is really treating you, even though you come to church hand in hand? Ooh, okay. Ooh. Or that picture of the perpetrator identified by the DNA is your child? That one you wouldn't let suffer the consequences of any of his actions when he was growing up. God has called us to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience. He knows you're frustrated because every time you get ahead, something else seems to break down, and it seems like you just can't win for losing. But is your God and your love for him deep enough for you to cry out to him today? Father, help me to count this all joy. I can't take it anymore, God. I need you to, you said count it all joy, but I need you to show me how. What do you think, he's too far out there to really care about how you feel? He knows exactly how you feel. He knows you can't take the pressure, and that's why he put the pressure on to make us come to him. Prostrate in the floor. God, I can't do this. I can't do this. What am I missing? You've evidently been trying to get my attention. And I'm missing it. So here I am, God. I finally surrender. Oh, hallelujah. Do you love him enough? Do you think he loves you enough? that he will help you in the midst of your struggle. Don't let the devil or other people tell you anything other than, yes, he will. But he's not going to have any spoiled brats. He knows who he's making you to be. You have no idea who you are. He has invested Jesus Christ in us. And he who spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Everybody's got to die to self. Everybody's got to be broken. Let him have his way. You'll never regret it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. God has called us to remember that the servant is not greater than his master. We have a suffering Savior. So too will we suffer for righteousness. Are we familiar with Peter's words in 1 Peter 5:10? But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, and only he can divide how long a while is. But he said after that, he's going to perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Oh, hallelujah. This is what he's going to do. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Be still and know that he is God. Don't run ahead of him. Don't try to fix it yourself. The more you try to fix it, the worse it's getting. What part of that are you not getting? What they say, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Romans 8:18, Apostle Paul said, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then let us not forget verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Nothing, not even us, can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So the question remains for us. How deep is your love for our wonderful, awesome, long-suffering, gentle, gracious, merciful, forgiving, and loving God? Oh, hallelujah. Will you stand on your feet? Ooh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. While the question of the sermon is how deep is your love, I pray that today we have pondered for just a few minutes the depth of his love. Amen. The depth of his love for us, just the way that we are. As the deacons come, maybe you're here today and you're not a recipient of this great love that most of us in here have experienced. Maybe you're still wondering, could God love me? Not does God love me, but could God love me? Could God love even me? And yes, the answer is yes. 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 No matter who else may have crossed you off, God loves you. And won't you respond to that love by saying yes and receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior? You may have been coming to this church for years, and everybody thought you were saved. Don't worry about that, because some of them that's thinking about it, they ain't saved. Okay? But at the end of the day, nobody else has a heaven or hell to put us in but Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you want to get to know this God who can love you anyway, tell your neighbor, God loves you anyway. And he knows all about you. And say it like I said it. He knows all about you. Oh, yes, he does. He knows all about you and me. Amen. But if you're not saved today, take advantage of this opportunity and come and give your life to Christ. If you are saved, but yet you know you kind of strayed, you kind of went your way, you started doing your own thing, you only did it for a week, then the next thing you know, it was 2 weeks, then it was 2 months, and then you was, you know, in the church, out the church, in the church, out the church. You was bobbing and weaving, ducking God, all that kind of stuff. But you know you need to make a fresh commitment to God. Don't worry about what nobody else thinks. Because right now what's going on is between you and God. And he's the only one that matters. He's the only one that matters. He's the only one that matters. So if you want to rededicate your life to Christ, and it doesn't mean when you rededicate your life to him that you were in sin. It's just that you're saying, you know what? I want to make a fresh commitment to you, Lord. I want to go back and do the first works that I did when I first got saved. And then somebody else, you are saved. You've been walking with the Lord, but you don't have a church home. If the Holy Spirit directs you, come and become a part of Redeemer. Because obviously, if he directs you, we need your gifts here. You will be a blessing to us. And in turn, he will have us to be a blessing to you. The call is out there. The call is out there. If you know you're not saved, don't play with your soul. If you know you're not saved, please don't play with your soul.